Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, final hour of the week. I am Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. And we are about to be joined by Jim Jordan, congressman from Ohio. But for many of you out there who may have been busy about your day, we had major breaking news just over an hour ago. Kenosha, Wisconsin, the jury rendered their verdict in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. This is what it sounded like.
The first count of the information, Joseph Rosenbaum, made the jury find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the second count of the information, Richard McGinnis, we, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the third count of the information, unknown male, we, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the fourth count of the information, Anthony Huber, we, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the fifth count of the information, Gage Grosskreutz, we, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty.
Not guilty on all five counts. We bring in now Congressman Jim Jordan from the great state of Ohio. Congressman, were you watching? What was your reaction when you saw and or heard about this verdict?
I was not watching. I was on a plane, but as soon as I landed, I got information from our office. My reaction is God bless America. Our system works. Due process works. This is a win for freedom. This is a win for facts, for truth. This is a win for the Second Amendment. I mean, this is good for our country, where that jury was not intimidated. They looked at the facts, they looked at the evidence, and you know, if that wasn't self-defense, what is? What is? So, no, I think this is good for our great system in our great country.
There's also a lot of people in Congress, the President of the United States, who already prejudged Congressman. We played a clip of a lot of people in media calling him a murderer, a school shooter, 17-year-old vigilante, teenage domestic terrorist, deeply racist murderer. What does it say about them to have this jury repudiate all of their attacks upon Rittenhouse?
No, I think it says what it says is this is how good our country is, because in spite of that, the jury got to the truth. I see this much like this other issue that frankly you're involved in, this issue where the Department of Justice is trying to chill the speech of parents and they're trying to force their beliefs on the country, and regular moms and dads are saying, no, you're not. You're not going to do that. And the folks in Wisconsin in that courtroom on that jury said, no, you're not. We're going to do what the facts say, what the truth says. I see this as such a positive. And I think there's a change happening, Clay. I said this when Merrick Garland was in front of our committee. I said, your actions when you tried to treat parents as domestic terrorists, and we may get into that, but I said, it is a catalyst. It's the last straw. It is the start of a reawakening in this country for freedom, for liberty, for the principles that make our country the best. And you're seeing it happen, and it is so darn encouraging.
Hey, Congressman Jordan, it's Buck, and I just want to follow up on the attitude as well. I mean, there's the FBI that you know, put out the stuff. I mean, the Merrick Garland AG letter, and now the FBI, according to that whistleblower complaint, I saw that letter. We read some of it on air that you put out about using terrorism tags for concerned parents. I mean, this is dystopian level insanity. But it's very clear that there really is a sentiment among the left in this country that parents should just shut up. I mean, here's a piece on NBC News that just went up in the last 24 hours, an opinion piece, but here's part of it. Parents think they have the right to control teaching and learning because their children are the ones educated. It's sort of like entering a surgical unit thinking you can interfere with an operation because the parent is your child. Wow. I hope every Democrat across America takes that approach going into these midterms.
Yeah. No, but when they think we're all deplorables, when they think we're all racist, these elite people, when that's their view, that then they take this crazy attitude. But it is not going to play well. And we saw that in Virginia. We're seeing that across the country. And understand this too. I don't think this, the more I've looked at this and the facts now begin to come out. Remember, we have news reporting that the School Board Association, before the initial letter was sent on September 29th, before that letter was even sent, the White House and the School Board Association were talking. So I don't think, and then of course 5 days later after they send the letter, Merrick Garland does his memo, and then we get this email that comes 16 days later out to FBI agents saying put this threat tag, this terrorist tag on parents. I don't think it really started with the school boards. I think that the letter was just a pretext. I think this came from the government. I think this is the Biden administration working with the Garland DOJ saying, we don't like parents pushing back on anything, so we're going to chill their speech with this, but we're going to have something to be the catalyst, so it's going to be this letter. I think it went that way. I think it was the government using the letter as a pretext to go after parents. What they didn't count on, what they didn't understand, is the pushback they were going to get from moms and dads. And that again, that is what is so darn encouraging about all this.
We're talking to Jim Jordan, congressman from Ohio. He's got a new book out, Do What You Said You Would Do, Fighting for Freedom in the Swamp. We don't know what the fallout is going to be in Kenosha, whether there might be people who try to riot as a result of the not guilty charges. What should the state of Wisconsin do to protect the people and the small business owners this time in Kenosha that they didn't do back in August, which led to these charges against Kyle Rittenhouse?
Yeah, great point. I mean, they should have the National Guard out. I think my understanding is that's what they're doing. And also leaders, the mayor, the governor, members of Congress, members of the leaders in the government should be standing up and saying, look, this is how our great system works. You all saw the fact. Just be a leader, for goodness sake. That's what's needed. That, frankly, that's what's needed in the White House right now. Someone who will actually lead and talk about the things that need to be talked about instead of just catering to the left, as we see Biden do. But be leaders. And my understanding, though, Clay, is that the governor there has got the National Guard called out. So I think that's obviously the right move.
Congressman Jordan, you know, the Build Back Better bill, a lot of B's, has been voted through the House. Nancy Pelosi pushing it all the way by, what was the vote? It was a handful, 220 to 213 today. How much of it is going to get changed, do you think? I know that we're asking you to kind of think about what they're doing across the hall on the Senate side. But how much? And the bigger point, the bigger question really is, how big a deal is this going to be for those of us who are worried about inflation, drags on economic growth, and the growth of government overall?
Yeah. It's just going to exacerbate the mess that the Biden administration and Democrats running all the federal government, the mess that they've created in just 10 months, it's only going to make it worse. We know that. Now, let's hope Manchin and Sinema hold firm. I mean, they've said they want changes and everything else, but they haven't said they're for it. So I hope this thing doesn't pass, obviously, because it's not just a number. It's not just the spending. I mean, that's bad enough. A couple of more $1 trillion on the already crazy spending that they've done. It's the policy. It's the left-wing energy policy in there that's going to make gas prices go up even more. It's the tax increases. I mean, you think about the Democrats' economic plan. I sent this the other day. The Democrats' economic plan is basically lock down the economy, spend like crazy, pay people not to work, and then for everyone who has been working, they're getting ready to raise your taxes. Such a deal. So this is how crazy this all is. I hope it doesn't pass. But for the president of the United States a few weeks ago say, if you pass this, if you spend $2 trillion more, it will help inflation. There is not a rational, sane person on this planet who believes that. Why the president of our country would say something like that is beyond me. So, again, let's hope Senators Manchin and Sinema stay no and this thing doesn't ever become law.
Kyle Rittenhouse not guilty, Congressman. You've got the Steele dossier officially total crap, as you've been arguing for years that it was. You have inflation skyrocketing. The border is a disaster. Is this a turning point for moderate, middle of the road people to recognize how much the media has been lying to them? I mean, I talk to a lot of people, Congressman. I know you do too. The amount of just flat out lies that were out there about Rittenhouse versus what was actually proven at the court hearing at the case. I mean, I think it red pilled a lot of people out there that otherwise hadn't been paying a lot of attention.
Yeah, no, I mean, Donald Trump colluded with Russia. Donald Trump's kids were going to prison. Kyle Rittenhouse was a terrorist, went out looking for to assault people and kill people. I mean, all lies, all based on no evidence, no facts behind those claims made by the press. And it got so bad, the Washington Post had to go back and say, well, we're going to make corrections in our stories about the Trump-Russia situation, that whole charade that they... So, yeah, the American people get it now. They The American people have common sense. They understand that they were fed a bunch of baloney by the left-wing press. They understand that the Democrat Party is now controlled by the hard left, and they're saying, time out, time out. And again, the first sign was Virginia. The first sign, and I think that's only going to pick up. There's a reason why 71% of our fellow citizens think the country's on the wrong track. I mean, because it is. It is on the wrong track, but Americans are going to turn it around. And again, I've said this a couple times, but you can see it happening, and it's so encouraging. And it's what we all sort of instinctively know about our fellow citizens, about this great country. Americans get it right, and you're seeing that now start to play out.
We're Congressman Jim Jordan wishing you the best of luck here on your book coming out on Tuesday. Do what you said you would do, fighting for freedom in the swamp. Congressman Jordan, always good to have you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Good to be with you guys. Take care.
Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and his team fit Clay and I for our own MyPillows and introduced us to their huge list of incredible products. You've got to trust Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. These pillows won't go flat. You can wash and dry them constantly. And most importantly, they're made in the USA. And for a limited time, Mike is offering his MyPillows, the one that started it all, for his lowest price ever. You can get a standard pillow, MyPillow, for $19.98, originally $69.98. But Clay, what do they have to do to get that amazing $50 savings?
Well, Buck, it's not very complicated at all. This is a tremendous offer, and they need to hop in and take advantage of this. And all they have to do is go to MyPillow.com and click on Radio Listener Specials. If they enter right now the promo code Clay and Buck, or they call 800-792-3269, they'll be hooked up with these great radio specials, plus money-back guarantee until March the 1st of next year. You have zero to risk. Go today at MyPillow.com, enter the code Clay and Buck, and get hooked up with an incredible holiday offer.
It's a good day in America, everybody. Enjoy it. We haven't had a lot of them lately, although we did have that very nice election day in Virginia. You always got to remember, too, a good day for you can happen any day, even if the country's having a rough one. But this is justice. And I'm happy for Kyle Rittenhouse. Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. And happy to see, more than anything else, the left-wing mob wasn't able to coerce a jury into going against the obvious facts of this case, and that it is still possible, even when you have the president of the United States, then would-be president, weighing in on a trial, which I thought he's not supposed to do that. Remember when that was a problem? Weighing in on a trial and defaming an innocent young man, you can still, if there are enough patriots left in this country, if there are enough Americans for whom honor and love of this country matter, you can still get a fair trial. The judge deserves a lot of credit in this case. He did protect Kyle Rittenhouse's constitutional rights. He didn't seem pro-Rittenhouse to me. He's not supposed to. But he was defending the rights of the defendant under the Constitution, which is, of course, why the left hates him. He was supposed to get railroaded. He was supposed to get completely destroyed by them. We want to hear from all of you on this, too. How are you feeling now that this Rittenhouse verdict has come down? Not guilty on all counts. 800-282-2882. And Kyle, I don't ever want to be the rain on the parade guy, but I can't help but think that if you had one of the attackers, and we can now clearly refer to them that way because they were attacking him, hence why it was self-defense. If one of Kyle's attackers had been non-white, and if there was not video of the incident that was clear to show what happened, I think the left would have been celebrating an innocent man's life being ruined today. That's what I think would have happened.
I don't think there's any doubt. And by the way, as we are watching outside of the courthouse, the police have now moved in and are trying to clear out crowds in front of the courthouse. And that's where this story is going to transition now, Buck, as it reaches the afternoon hours in Wisconsin. And as everyone begins to wonder and ask, are we going to see violence on the streets of Kenosha tonight or not? I hope that the 500 National Guardsmen who were called in this time and should have been called in last time are going to be able to protect the small businesses and the people in those communities from needing to address all of the violence that we might see. I hope we're not going
to
see it.
I'm just going to say this. It's, to me, a different situation right now. And I could end up coming on this show with you, Clay, on Monday and saying, well, they don't care what the calculation is. But for them to riot now, and there's going to be some protests and things, but to really try a full-scale riot would show too many people in America who still believe in common sense and rationality that the left is a bunch of violent thugs who don't believe in our system, who don't believe in justice. I think right now they don't have the same cover they did before. Remember, when they rioted in Kenosha the first time, it was because of justice for George Floyd, right? That was the big push. That's what they
said. Jacob Blake.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jacob Blake. Well, George Floyd.
Connected
Jacob,
to it, but Jacob Blake was the initial, no charges right. brought,
but it
like,
was the BLM
specifically.
You know,
yes.
The whole BLM situation was very different, which is, by the way, why the Jacob Blake case got so much attention, because it already had, we already had the BLM movement,
yes,
sweeping the country. So right now it's, hold on a second, he had a trial, it was a fair trial, this is the jury's verdict, you're now going to riot over this one? I'm not saying they won't do it. I'm just saying it's politically riskier for even the left-wing Democrats. I think some of them know that.
Well, and Joe Biden would be blamed now as opposed to the beneficiary of it. And I think one other angle, open phone lines, 800-282-2882. One other angle we need to hit, Buck, the judge here, who was able to avoid having to take a mistrial.
Are you okay, Clay? I got it. I'm here for my buddy. Clay, just so you guys all know, I just take a little moment here. Clay is sick as a dog, all right? If I were Clay, I might have stayed home today, but Clay has decided to push through like a champ, and I can see him right now, and he is downing tea.
Oh, man.
Like he's trying to put out a fire in his belly. And
last,
you know, just
2 days have been tough.
He would miss you all so much. That even though it sounds like he's having a tough time breathing, never mind talking, he is here doing the show. But we want to hear from all of you, which will also help Clay out because he'll get to talk less. 800-282-2882. That's 800-282-2882 on the phone lines. How do you feel about the verdict, folks? We're all in this one together. Let's do a joint Clay and Buck backflip or handstand or whatever. A little bit of celebration. Justice is alive in this country. Doesn't mean there's not a lot of injustice, but there are still some who will stand up and do the right thing in our justice system. One of the more unique experiences I've enjoyed this year was making my first purchase of gold. Buying and taking physical possession of real gold was a unique experience. Holding real gold and a lot of it in your hands is an experience that reinforces why this precious metal has stood the test of time. It's a rare commodity, it's a precious metal that has appreciated over time, and it's the best form of protection you could have as a hedge against inflation. My partners at the Oxford Gold Group have precious metals that can be delivered to your home. You'd be amazed at how simple and enjoyable they make the process. So if you think buying real gold is complicated, my friends at the Oxford Gold Group are who you need to call. They'll explain everything to you. Having real gold delivered to your home or having real gold as part of your IRA, it's just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-GOLD, 833, the Oxford Gold Group, 833-404-GOLD.
Hope, welcome back in. Final half hour. I had my mic on mute because I had such a coughing attack. Buck had to take us to break in the last segment. We're rolling through the final half hour trying to finish here in what has been a very noteworthy and newsworthy day. I'd encourage you to go download the podcast, search out Clay Travis, search out Buck Sexton, and you will be able to listen to every moment of the show.
We did great shows this week.
Many of you were going to start traveling.
We did great shows this week. Like, let's just
be honest. We did really good shows this week.
Just going to tell you.
We did do very good shows this week. And the breaking news of the Rittenhouse case coming down at the top of hour two. Absolutely riveting radio for us doing it and for all of you listening and our immediate reaction to it. We had Alex Berenson on in the second hour, third hour. We just talked with Jim Jordan. And Buck, one of the things you are seeing happen is the absolute destruction of all of the media narratives surrounding Kyle Rittenhouse. And what's amazing is, and I just tweeted about this because I saw it, you know, this 1619 Project woman. Hold on. We've got breaking news. Is this the Rittenhouse?
We've got the Rittenhouse defense attorney right now. Do you want to go to him for a second? Let's go to him for a second. Let's come back to him.
Sealed it. But in Wisconsin, if you don't put a client on the stand, you're going to lose, period.
What do you see as the crucial moment in the trial?
There were a lot. I think it's at the beginning, but when Attorney Binger gave his opening statement and said those things that Kyle chased Rosenbaum down, I don't know where that came from to this day. It was ridiculous. And that gave me something to really show and argue to a jury that this isn't fair. It's not a game. And I think that was huge. Corey, you know, my co-counsel, and I stress the word co-counsel, he was not a second chair, was incredible. We fought over who got to cross-examine Gage Grosskowitz. He won, and he did a better job than I would have.
This case has gotten caught up in issues of racial justice, the Second Amendment, self-defense. What does Kyle, what does your team want this verdict to be remembered for, this case to be remembered for?
You know, when I took this case, I was hired by the two first lawyers. I'm not going to use their names. They wanted to use Kyle for a cause and something that I think was inappropriate. And I don't represent causes. I represent clients. And the only thing that ended up mattering to me was whether he was found not guilty or not.
Is that what Kyle feels as well? Is that what Kyle wants, or does he...
I believe that's what he wanted. And I had, you know, I told him when I first met him, when he was in custody, that if he was looking for somebody to go off on a crusade, I wasn't his lawyer.
Martin, throughout the week, you said, you know, when I caught you in between the court.
I never talked to you.
that you were nervous, that, you know, you didn't know what the heck was going on in that jury room. Looking back on, you know, all that time waiting, nearly, you know, 27 hours to this afternoon, can you kind of walk me through sort of those emotions?
I mean, I expected, we kind of picked amongst ourselves, our wives, our friends, my associates in the building. And I had Tuesday at 4:30, so I was way wrong. Nobody had it going past Thursday. And, you know, there was talk today about whether they were going to deliberate on Saturday. I've never seen a jury, and I don't mean this as a slight to them, but they didn't have a lot of questions. We had no information that they ever fought. They were just working through the issues. And, you know, so it didn't... It was the time that made me nervous. There wasn't any information coming out.
They submitted five questions over that whole time. They never asked to rewatch the videos, you know, beyond those five questions. Was that concerning or puzzling question, you know, for you?
I was afraid of a compromise. You know, I know it's been reported that we asked for lesser includeds. We objected to all lesser includeds. Kyle was questioned on lesser includeds because he has to be, but that wasn't our wish. That wasn't Kyle's wish. And we, as time went on, were afraid that there would be some horse trading in the jury room. And that's what really concerned us.
And Mark, you've been visibly frustrated with the prosecution multiple times.
No.
Yeah, all right. So we're letting Mark Richards there, the defense attorney, take a well-deserved victory lap, just explaining some interesting aspects of this. He was worried. I mean, Clay, he's making it clear they didn't. Never, none of them thought. I mean, these are the people. This is the defense attorney, right?
Yes.
They're watching this as closely. They're seeing every move the jury's making. They're watching their hand gestures, their eyes, their everything. And none of them thought on the defense side, he's saying, that they were going to go this long to deliberate. They didn't ask a lot of questions, so the tea leaf reading was essentially impossible, which we were saying all along. I had heard people say everything. I had a friend who's a federal prosecutor, and she said, I think they're going to go with a lesser count. That was yesterday. I mean, it was all over the place. Clearly, Mark Richards, I mean, this is a career win from a defense attorney's perspective. But when he talks about the bigger issues, and I appreciate he's focusing in on the professionalism of, I'm just representing my client. But the bigger issue here is the facts actually matter. It actually mattered. They had video. The prosecutor really lied, actually. I mean, it's not, wasn't an interpretation thing to say that one of the attackers of Kyle Rittenhouse was actually the one who was chased. It's kind of hard to think how they came to that, honestly, Clay.
Well, and look, to me, this week represents in many ways a destruction of the woke media narrative. Right before we went to Mark Richards, you know, the woman who does the 1619 Project, she tweeted out, because narrative is everything, she tweeted out, this is Hannah Jones, in this country, you can even kill white people and get away with it if those white people are fighting for black lives. This is the legacy of 1619. And then she also tweeted, he carried a gun he could not legally have illegally across state lines and killed two people. But sure, y'all believe in law and order. That's a lie. The gun never left Wisconsin and he could legally have it. And so I responded to her, and you can see this on Twitter. What you find, Buck, and I have found this consistently, so few people actually bother to know the facts of what they have such strong opinions on. And that, to me, is what distinguishes this show to a large extent in much of media. You and I do our homework so that when we share facts and details and opinions, they're rooted in something strong foundationally. I mean, this, I was embarrassed I got that guy
Ratner's name wrong, his first name wrong.
Which we corrected. And I evidently, in the open of the show, said Australia when I meant Austria. Nobody's perfect, right? Like, we're doing live radio. We're occasionally going to misspeak, but we value our standing with all of the audience listening to us enough that if we say something incorrect, we want to correct it within the body of the show. It's humiliating to me, and also evidence of why there's so much divisiveness in this country, that she could get that much and that significant of a detail wrong.
I always feel like one of the brand promises, Clay, of our show is every day we do this, I want everyone who's listening to us to know that if they say something here and then they engage somewhere else with what they've learned from us in terms of facts or analysis, that they're on solid ground and they are right. That doesn't mean the crazy libs are going to agree to that, but that we are equipping everyone who listens to the show to go into any discussion, any debate, with exactly what they need, and that they are right in what they are saying and what they are putting forward. Your dog's health is in your hands. As a dog lover, you know that. I've got Tallulah right now. I'm babysitting her for a few days. She's amazing. But, you know, you don't have to constantly be in touch with your vet. You do have to do everything you can day to day to make sure your dog's living a long and healthy life, though. And one sure way to make sure your dog is getting the right nutrition, you can get that done by sharing a healthy supplement to your dog's meals. Years ago, no one would have thought about this product or made anything like this, but now we know better. So you've got a product on the market called Ruff Greens. They're fast becoming a regular, everyday sponsor of the program, given the audience response that this product is seeing. Ruff Greens is not a dog food. It's a healthy supplement you put into your dog's food with all the live nutrients necessary for superior dog health. Ruff Greens is 100% vegan with no GMOs, antibiotics, hormones, fillers, artificial colors, all that bad stuff. Ruff Greens will make your dog healthier by making the dog's food better. What you get is a happier, healthier dog like my Tallulah. She just had a little sprinkle of Ruff Greens this morning on her chow. The folks at Ruff Greens are so confident your dog is going to love it, they've got a special deal for you. Go to roughgreens.com/EIB, and they're going to give you the first bag free. All you pay is shipping. That's roughgreens.com/EIB. roughgreens.com/EIB. We are closing up shop here on the Clay and Buck Show. We had the big not guilty verdict for Kyle Rittenhouse come down just about over an hour ago now, but we are going to continue to follow up on this story, obviously, on Monday. We've also got Dr. Scott Atlas joining us on Monday. You all know him as from the Trump White House Task Force on COVID. He's got a lot to say about Fauci and the rest. We said we'd take some calls. We want to do that now. We've got John in Savannah, Georgia, one of my favorite places to visit for a weekend. What's up, John?
Hey, Buck, how are you?
We're good. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to know, you've got you know, two trials, or rather one that just finished, one that's going on close to me in Brunswick, Georgia. What do you think the outcome is going to be? Both are using self-defense, and you've had video prominently used in both trials. What do you think the outcome is going to be with the jury's decision, and what do you think might happen depending on what happens in Kenosha over the next couple of days, tonight, and going forward?
John, I'll speak for myself, and then I'll let Clay, because we haven't really dealt with it. I'm not as I became very up on and was reading transcripts of and obviously watching a lot of the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. I am familiar with the basics of the Ahmaud Arbery trial, but I need to dive into it more this weekend, and now I'll have the time to do so. Clay, how about you?
Same, Buck. I mean, I was all in on Rittenhouse. We paid a lot of attention to it. The Arbery trial, I'm frankly not as plugged in on, and so I don't even feel comfortable giving a prediction. What, by the way, one of the other unique things is with this show, we'll tell you if we don't think we have a strong enough opinion and enough data. Let me say this, by the way, Buck, in the last couple of minutes, Joe Biden has said, asked about the verdict. I didn't watch the trial. I stand by what the jury has concluded. The jury system works, and we have to abide by it. We'll see whether or not.
I mean, that's about the most
tepid,
whatever. Yeah, exactly. The most boilerplate you can imagine. How about justice was done in America today, and we should all respect. Oh no, not from Joe Biden. John and Savannah, thanks, man. We will. Clay and I will look more on the Ahmaud Arbery trial over the weekend. Mike in Cypress Gardens, Florida. Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Good.
I am still very concerned, and here's the reason why. Even though Kyle Rittenhouse was found innocent for defending himself, what I want to know is, this dropkick man who knocked him down to the ground to begin with, then the skateboard man that tried to bash his brains in, then pistol man who admitted he pointed the pistol at Kyle Rittenhouse while he was on the ground. My concern is, and I already know the answer to my question, are they ever going to be charged with aggravated assault or anything else like that? And my answer is no. And I think that's the problem. Until these people are found responsible for their actions, they're just going to keep doing it. And they don't care if they die. They don't care. This battle is not over.
Well, I think the bigger picture question here is, and this was one of the caller from Brunswick, I think, just asked, what is the reaction going to be in Kenosha? Is the looting, pillaging, burning, rioting scenes that we saw from last summer, has that now been extinguished because Joe Biden is president? And the discussion we had earlier, Buck, is you can't blame Donald Trump for the violence that ensues now. It's on Biden. Will that lead to a resurgence in violence, or is it going to be relatively muted? That is the response to Rittenhouse and potentially with Arbery. I'll also say this. Black Lives Matter is not going to be as active when white assaulters are killed here. I think the reaction, if the guys who were charged with killing Ahmaud Arbery, would be different, because there you have the black victim. Here, there's no black victim.
If,
right?
if you had Blake, a black victim, things if you totally had no video evidence, Kyle Rittenhouse would be spending the rest of his life in prison, most likely. That's the reality, I think, of how this would have. Those two things together, it would, because of the narrative, because the way, I mean, the prosecutors were. It is amazing they actually didn't. I mean, I'm glad, obviously, this was the just verdict, but they didn't get a mistrial, considering some of the things that they did. They were going with everything they could to stack the deck. They were trying every kind of play around the edges and even dirty trick to make Kyle Rittenhouse look worse. I think they should be up on sanctions, honestly. I think the prosecutors were really skating around the edges.
Yeah, I think what they'll be helped by is the fact that it took 4 days. I mean, I thought this might be a 45-minute jury. I mean, candidly, I think I said on the show, like, I expect for the jury to come back quickly. It's what the Kyle Rittenhouse defense attorney said. And I will say this, Buck, because I started coughing when I was going to try to say it earlier. They took a lot of the onus off the judge, because I think this judge wanted to grant a mistrial. But what he wanted to do instead of grant a mistrial was have a verdict from
the jury.
So they took it out of his hands.
Yeah.
and all the criticism of the jury of the judge is going to vanish now because the jury unanimously agreed to this not guilty verdict.
This is a reminder for all of us too. The system can work, but our system can only work if people of courage, honor, and conviction are willing to do what it takes within the system. We need good people. We need people that will actually view their civic duty with seriousness, with decency, with kindness. And that's this jury, I think, is in a lot of ways representative of the best of us. Did you want to get to Margaret? Margaret,
yeah,
in New Jersey, what do you got for us?
Thank you so much for taking my call. I have to say that I am holding my breath and I am praying that this weekend is a peaceful weekend, because I'm really worried about our country. I feel that he had a fair trial. I thought the judge was impartial, and this is justice. This is our country. This is what we're founded on. And the fact that we have to sit here in fear that people are going to disagree with this verdict is really sad. I'm worried and I'm sad, and I'm happy at the same time. I'm glad that he received a fair trial. That's how I feel.
Margaret, no, we appreciate that. I have the same sense here. I do not believe it is highly likely that there will be really widespread riots in Kenosha, at least, in response to this. But I don't know, and we will certainly be watching this over the weekend. But at least the right verdict came down. At least justice was done. And we shall see how it goes from there. Clay, dude, you got to get some rest and some
I got to drive to Mississippi, Buck, and do my continued college football tour. It's crazy, I know. One bit of news, the weather is not going to be that cold. Sometimes the weather impacts whether people protest and riot quite a bit. But justice was done. Thank you, Kenosha.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.